You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
Welcome to Finishing Well, brought to you by CardinalGuide.com with certified financial planner Hans Scheil, best-selling author and financial planner helping families finish well for over 40 years. On Finishing Well, we'll examine both biblical and practical knowledge to assist families in finishing well, including discussions on managing Social Security, Medicare, IRAs, long-term care, life insurance, investments, and taxes. Now, let's get started with Finishing Well.
Welcome to Finishing Well with certified financial planner Hans Scheil. And today's show is when to take your Social Security. And you may notice I don't have a biblical, you know, title to this one, but I think there's a definitely biblical application to when to take your Social Security that you may find surprising. But I think that it's very much related to Jesus's first beatitude, which is significant to me. Why did he choose this one to go first? You know, he's going to, for the first time, sit down and give a sermon, and most people would say the most important sermon of all time. And what does he start off with? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so, you know, some of you may be wondering, what does that mean, poor in spirit? Well, I think there's a passage for me that illustrates that perhaps better than almost any other is, and you'll find it, Luke chapter 7. Jesus goes to a Pharisee's house to eat meat. So I'm guessing they had steak. You know, it was a Pharisee's house. According to King James, they were eating meat. And a woman shows up with an alabaster jar. And, you know, the Pharisees know this ain't, you know, who ought to be touching the master here. And she is, you know, all over Jesus. She's wiping his feet with her hair. She's washing them, and she's putting this anointment on him. And the Pharisee is thinking to himself, you know, if you were really a master, you know, you would know who's touching you. And Jesus says, well, let me ask you a question. You know, if you had somebody that owes you a bunch of money and somebody that didn't owe you quite so much and you forgave both debt, which one would you think would love you more? And the Pharisee, he got it right. And then he said, well, this woman, when she came in, you know, You didn't kiss me, but, you know, she's been kissing my feet, and you didn't anoint my head, but she's anointed my feet with this expensive ointment. And he said, you know, he who is forgiven much loves much. Now, when you look at the two people, that woman that, of course, the Pharisee thought he was better than was poor in spirit. I mean, she knew how bad she needed Jesus, and she was all about loving on Jesus and showing him how much she appreciated what he was doing there, and that he was God. The Pharisee, on the other hand, when you think about the opportunity they had in front of him, he was sitting at the table with God. He thought he was good. I'm good. I don't have much to forgive because I'm already so much better than this woman over here. Well, the sad news for me is how often is that me? How often is it me that thinks, oh, I'm good. I've got this figured out. And when it comes to Social Security, if you looked at me 3 years ago, Hans, I was by no means poor in spirit when it came to Social Security because I thought, why do I need to know anything about Social Security? I mean, you know, that's going to be a piddly sum of money. It really won't matter much. And, you know, I'm just going to be working anyway. So what difference does it make? And so the net result of that is Bloomberg wrote a heck of an article, right?
Well, he did. And, well, actually, Bloomberg is a whole company, but there's one guy that owns it that is famous. But it's the article is Americans Lose Trillions Claiming Social Security at the Wrong Time. Yeah, and there's lots of articles like this that are out there. But what is kind of interesting about this one, and the reason I sent it to you, is this went through all the news media circles. I mean, I know it was in the LA Times, it was in the New York Times, probably in the Charlotte Observer. I mean, I just saw it over and over and over and over. And so I sent it to you, and I really just for you that I thought, well, this is part of Robbie's education on Social Security, because a lot of things we've been saying all along. And then I kind of forgot about it because, you know, I'm usually pretty selective about articles I'm sending. And when I send them for a reason, and I did with this. But you tied it to the next Social Security show, and you brought it up to me about a week ago when we were getting ready to prepare for the show, and you just were talking about it, and I had to go back and read it. And it's really saying what we've been saying all along is that, generally speaking, people start their Social Security too soon. And these people, now there are some people, though, that start it too late. what they point out in the article is most of the software that's designed to help you pick the ideal time to start Social Security and getting the most money, most of the software programs, and we subscribe to most of them, they just use actuarial tables and they treat everybody the same. And you personally have a sense of your mortality. I mean, most people do. And what they're saying is that somebody that has a sense that they're not going to live a long time or health, they might be better off taking the Social Security at full retirement age at like 66 as opposed to waiting till 70. Because they're going to miss out on 4 years of Social Security checks just to get a larger check. And if they don't live till 80, they're not going to make up the money. So that's a case. But that also, one of the points that I disagree with the article is it doesn't take into account spousal benefits, really, in your situation.
Yeah, and what we've been talking about for a year and 6 months, or however long we've been doing this show, is in order to finish well, I mean, that's the idea.
Right.
The best thing you could think of is to have options, and one of those options is this Social Security, and it's a big part. Now, I did not know that when I was not poor in spirit, and I didn't realize I had a lot to learn when it came to this idea of when to take Social Security. But a lot of options are open or closed to you based on what you do with this particular decision.
Well, sure they are. And, you know, one of those might be to live off of your IRA money once you retire, if you retire before 66 or 68 or 70, or you retire at 62, 60, is that if you have enough IRA money that you could live off of that and then further delay your Social Security, or you could delay it. Another option might be to take on a second gig. And, you know, in some ways, 60, 62, 64 could be a little young to retire for most people. I mean, it's just, I don't think
it is for me. And I think about my own options I didn't think about this 4 years ago, but I'm certainly thinking about it now that, you know, the best thing, if I'm obviously listening to God and hopefully to advance the kingdom, God, where do you want me? And where do you want me, you know, working on the kingdom? And so that fortunately leaves me here at Truth Broadcasting and the ability to continue to work, which leaves me more options, ability to hold off on taking your Social Security. And still you get the benefits of Medicare coming in when you're 65, and the options open up as you're able to hold off to your Social Security. Then there's other things that you're able to do with other investments. And
well, sure. And so generally speaking, they're talking about people are, for the most part, taking it too early, and it's costing, on average, $110,000 in lost money per household over a lifetime.
Right. And the sad thing is that as I look at people I just know in my own life, it seems like the people that are the least able to afford taking that big chunk out of the Social Security are the ones that took it early. Because they seem to be the ones that, honestly, are thinking that they're desperate when they're really not, you know, thinking through what all their options may be. And it's kind of scary, actually.
Well, I actually don't have all the research that these people do, but I have a pretty good handle on what makes people tick in regards to Social Security. And I was telling you this earlier that people in their 50s, in early 60s, before they retire, mid 60s, they'll tend to dismiss Social Security. I mean, they'll just, I'll be there when I need it, and just generally. And then what I've found is by the time they're in seeing me, like they're retired or it's going to be 2 months from now, that Social Security has gone from very little importance once they actually see what it is to very high importance. And it's central in our financial planning. I mean, it's just the linchpin of really retirement. I don't care how much money you have or don't have. It's important. And so, you know, I think that's part of the problem. And we would call those people, I guess, rich in the spirit, not poor in the spirit, because they kind of think, well, I'm okay. I got my retirement, pre-retirees. And then when they're ready to retire, But then they become poor in spirit because all of a sudden they're looking at that and it's replacing another check. And then they're coming in to see me. And I'm always testing that because I want people to be really paying attention to the stuff I'm recommending. I don't, you know, want people just researching. I want them to, this is serious stuff.
Yeah, and I think about, you might be 30 or 40 years old listening and thinking, what does this have to do with me? Well, I wish I'd have known what I know now. When my mother was making that selection, because she didn't, you know, live as well as my father did, and you know, my parents were divorced, and I really had no understanding of what she was doing with Medicare, Medicare supplements, nothing what she was doing with Social Security. So, you know, by coming into a show like this and saying, gee, you know, I am poor in spirit. I don't know what I don't know. Jesus, you know, show me what it is that you want to teach me. And the way you can do that is cardinalguide.com. That's what was bringing you this show today. It's brought to you by cardinalguide.com. If you go to cardinalguide.com and you look at the 7 worries tab, which we're hoping you don't worry that you have faith, but one of the worries is Social Security, which is what we're talking about today. And there's all sorts of helpful information, extremely accurate charts on ways to help you have the right options in making this decision, because it isn't a cookie cutter approach thing by any means. We haven't even talked about spousal support, a lot of things, but you can download that chapter for free at the 7 worries tab, or you can just email Hans and get the book. You know, the seven.
Sure. I'll send you the book, both books. No charge. All you got to do is send it. And you can get them on Amazon if you really, you know, if you're one of these people that want to stay anonymous, and I respect that, and it's for sale, and it's inexpensive on Amazon. So we'd like to get you the information regardless. And, you know, with Social Security, something has just kind of come to me that full retirement age is now 66. It used to be 65. But that's the age that you're targeted to start your Social Security. And when you get reading this article, or you just listen to a lot of people talking, they're thinking that full retirement age is 62. I mean, because that's the earliest you can take Social Security, but that's actually 4 years before full retirement age. So I think part of this may be our thinking, is because people know you can start it at 62, they start targeting that as a retirement date in their mind, and then they just take it. When in reality, we need to take 66, and we need to say that's the age where I can get my full benefit. And if I start it before then, I'm reducing it, and I'm reducing it for the rest of my life.
And not just reducing it for yourself, in the case, which we'll talk about on the other side of the break, you know, for our spouses. And you know, that adds a whole different part of the equation, and it has to do with the options that we're talking about. So you want to stay tuned. We got so much more finishing well with today's show. When do I take my Social Security? Stay tuned. Hans and I would love to take our show on the road to your church, Sunday school, Christian, or civic group. Here's a chance for you to advance the kingdom through financial resources by leveraging Hans' expertise in qualified charitable contributions, veterans' aid and attendance, IRAs, Social Security, Medicare, and long-term care. Just go to cardinalguide.com and contact Hans to schedule a live recording of Finishing Well at your church, Sunday school, Christian, or civic group. Contact Hans at cardinalguide.com. That's cardinalguide.com. Well, welcome back to Finishing Well with Certified Financial Planner Hans Scheil. Today's show is, when do I take my Social Security?
So, pretty simple.
Seems simple, but you know, we're talking about blessed are the poor in spirit. That, wow, I there might be a lot I need to learn here. That, you know, if the glass is completely full, or isn't, you're going to pour any information in here. But it turns out that the more I'm poor in spirit on the idea of when do I take my Social Security, the more there is to learn and the more to consider in order to have options. And, you know, I love what you were saying right before the break, Hans, that, you know, it has to do with us targeting. You know, are we targeting that we're waiting until we're 62, or are we targeting that, in my case, right, it's 66 and 4 months, you know.
Is your full retirement age.
Is my full retirement age.
You know, and by the way, we're going to talk about that in a sec. That's news to a lot of people that are that age. Some people have researched it, and they know differently because they've done a little bit of research, so they know that it's different than 65. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of people, even some that have researched, they're coming to me for retirement planning, and that's news, that it's 66 in 4 months. And by the way, it was set into place. Well, that's for you because you're at your age, and it's going to be as high as 67 for the people born in 1964 and after.
Right. So, and therein lies kind of what the target is, because anytime you take anything before you're 66, at your full retirement age is where you get what your Social Security was intended to be. And if you take it sooner than that, you're essentially taking a penalty.
Well, no, you are taking a penalty. And here's the deal, is that these same people that don't know full retirement age, they all know 62. People know that across the board. You can start your Social Security at 62. Most of them don't know the ramifications of that, or they think they get a little hit or whatever. So my thinking is we need to shift our mindset, those people that are listening to me for advice, that we're going to go to full retirement age, and that's the age that the Social Security Administration is saying. We've targeted this whole thing based on your income. That's when you're the earliest that you should think about retiring. Now, if we're going to do it short of that, so we're going to retire at 64 or 63, or then we're going to have to really calculate and know before we start it what that's going to cost us over a lifetime and really take a look at it and consider some alternatives to live off of.
Right. Which, those are options are actually quite pleasant to me to figure out how God would want you to finish well, perhaps to take a job in order to get you through to be able to hold off on that to improve. Because as we were talking about right before the break, in my case, I really want to make sure that Tammy gets my full, and by waiting till I'm 70, since she's significantly younger than me, she'll be able to get that larger benefit long after I'm gone, I hope.
Listen, I got the same plan. I'm, as long as God agrees with my plan, don't start it till 70. Then at that time, Rhonda will be 69. She's not a lot younger than me, but a little bit younger. And then if I don't make it to 80 or into my mid-80s or whatever, there's a pretty good chance she's going to live up into her mid-90s. She's got an aunt, 98, and she's still kicking. I mean, you just talked to her the other night, and her mother just passed away a year ago in her 90s. I mean, there's a pretty good chance she's going to live a long time. And from the time I die till the end of her life, she's going to get my full delayed amount. And that's, for me, going to be over, somewhere between $4,000 and $5,000 a month. And then that's inflation adjusted. So it's going to be even more than that. And I've got a plan that's going to be tax-free in our deal. So, if you can delay it and you can work out a plan to do it, you can make all those numbers turn in your favor for your retirement. That's the $110,000.
Right, and you get the options that we were talking about, which, you can invest more of that in the kingdom.
Now, what they don't talk about in the article is taxes on your Social Security. So a lot of folks don't really get that you're going to have to pay taxes on your Social Security. So it's not tax-free. You're never going to have to pay taxes on all of it, but you're going to pay taxes on some of it, and the amount that you pay in taxes on your Social Security is calculated by your other income. So if you have other income that you need to live off of, taxable income, then not only are you going to have to pay tax on that other income, you're going to have to pay taxes on your Social Security based upon how big that other income is. So the answer to that is Roth IRAs and Roth conversions. My plan is by 70 to have all my IRA convert it over to a Roth. And that way I'm going to be able to pull money out of there tax-free for an income, and then my Social Security is going to stay tax-free.
Right, and the really sad, and I'm certainly thankful for people who have large resources and able to do all that, but the really sad part for me is those friends I have that I talked about that took it the day they turned 62, most of them are working too, and then they realize, oh my goodness, I'm paying tax on top of I'm on the Social Security, and that's end up taking a whopping part out of what I thought I was getting, and it just,
they didn't know that, and that's not even included in the $110,000.
Right,
is the extra taxes that you pay, or the give back of the Social Security, on the amounts over $17,000 a year from 62 to full retirement age.
You're listening to Certified Financial Planner Hans Scheil, and our show is, again, Finishing Well, which is based on the book, The Complete Cardinal Guide to Planning for and Living in Retirement, and its accompanying workbook, which is available there at cardinalguide.com, but is also the PDF of both the book and the workbook are there under the Seven Worries tab of Social Security Today. One of those stories in your book, I think, is significant about a man who shouldn't have waited till he was 70, and he was fairly wealthy. And but in his case, he overlooked because he wasn't poor in spirit, and he thought he knew what he was doing by waiting to 70.
Well, yeah. So he was a 66-year-old guy when we met him. What was unique about him is he had a 17-year-old son. What he didn't know, by delaying his Social Security and living off his other resources, he wasn't able to file for that dependent child under 18 or child in high school, because actually when he gets over 18, as long as he's in high school, he still gets a check form. The check was for half of his Social Security check. So when we discovered this, we got him to file Social Security right away, change his plan of delaying, and then he collected for about a year and a half, 2 years, a check and a half. And by the time you put all that together, it wasn't worth waiting.
Right. And so as the article says, there is not a cookie cutter approach. All the actuarial tables in the world isn't you with your family, with your medical history, with your work history, or other opportunities that you may have.
Sure. One of the things I wanted to point out, since we have just a little bit here, is that something really cool that's going on is we've got people all over the United States listening to Finishing Well, and they're picking it up off of the podcast apps. And frankly, I don't really know exactly why this is happening. I mean, we'd like to think that perhaps it's a valuable show to people, but I mean, we're not paying any money in advertising to create that. But what I find really cool is we're just getting calls, and with the book as well. I mean, the book's been out for a couple, 3 years on Amazon, and we have people in Hawaii and California and just all over the place. We have a client, missionaries in Iraq, got a hold of the book on the Kindle, and they're moving back to the States. And anyhow, we did planning for them. But one of the questions all these people have is that, do you do planning for me out here in Oregon or, you know, wherever? And the answer is yes. I mean, we're licensed in all 50 states. And what I will tell you is, but how satisfied they are that they decided to reach out to us. And some of the people that reach out to us just reach out to us, get the information, and then they find somebody local. I mean, so I don't really want to talk you into that, but I was thinking about it the other day, is that you only have to give up one thing, which is a face-to-face interaction. And what you get for that is you're opening up a whole world of options. I mean, we're completely independent. We represent most of the insurance companies in all the lines that we handle. We represent most of the investment products. I mean, Roth IRA planning is not about something, or IRA conversions is really not about something we're selling you. It's just about planning out a strategy, tax planning the same way. And so I just wanted to point out to people is that if you give up that face-to-face, you just open up a tremendous amount of options, and not only options for products, but experience. By doing this all on the phone, there's 20 of us all together working out of the same place. And if one of my young associates is not familiar with whatever expertise they need, I'm just down the hall, and I do that all day long. So it's just kind of cool to me serving people all over the country and having people that are drawn in to call us and want these services that are picking it up on the show. And then what I also know, for every person that calls us, there's probably 50 others that we've affected positively, because we got thousands of downloads, that people are learning things and by listening to the show. And I just...
Right. And one of the cool things about the podcast, which that I can speak to for a second, is that you can, if you've got a smart iPhone, you can just say, hey, Siri, play the Finishing Well podcast, and it'll come right up on your phone. And then you can do what I call binge listening. So, you know, you've got a long trip to Atlanta or you're going somewhere, you know, you can listen to 10, 20 episodes And just think about it, you'd be getting quite an education if you're pouring spirit on all these subjects of Social Security and taxes and Medicare and all the things that we talk about every week. There's a heck of an opportunity by just telling Siri, I want to listen to the Finishing Well podcast, and then binge listen till you hear what you're hoping to learn about that part of your life.
That's really flattering. You know, it'd be great if you call us up and do business with us and use our services, but it's also great if you just learn something that made your situation better.
That advances the kingdom.
Sure.
Because as you're able to give more to the kingdom for people that didn't make as good of choices, or for other ways that you are giving inheritance to your family or putting them in a position to be able to give to the kingdom, all those things are treasure in heaven, which is what we all are, is way more important investing in, which is, why I love doing this show, because I know eventually, that's what truly counts, is if we can really be poor in spirit and learn more that we have God there in front of us all the time to forgive our sins and those kind of things. So we want to thank you for listening to this episode, and hopefully you got from this about when you should take your Social Security. But I would say that there's a link there at cardinalguide.com where you could call Hans and look at your individual situation with your wife and her age and when she can go on Medicare. All those things enter into it, right, Hans? This is not a cookie-cutter deal.
What other resources you have, whether you have Roth, regular IRAs, what kind of income we can create from that.
Because I can see all the charts in the world, but, man, I'm excited about actually putting my personal information in Hans's hands and getting a customized thing based on, what my family needs.
Sure.
And so it's all there again at cardinalguide.com. We want to thank you for listening today.
Thanks.
We hope you enjoyed Finishing Well, brought to you by CardinalGuide.com. Visit CardinalGuide.com for free downloads of this show or previous shows on topics such as Social Security, Medicare, IRAs, long-term care, life insurance, investments, and taxes, as well as Hans' best-selling book, The Complete Cardinal Guide to Planning for and Living in Retirement, and The Workbook. Once again, for dozens of free resources, past shows, or to get Hans' book, go to CardinalGuide.com. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for future shows, click on the Finishing Well radio show on the website and send us a word. Once again, that's CardinalGuide.com. CardinalGuide.com.